Our responsibility is not to adapt this message or to remold it or even to build on it or to develop it. Our responsibility is to receive it so that we may pass it on faithfully.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, we began to look last time at what it means to receive the gospel. Today, as we get back to this message all about perseverance and doctrine, we're going to look at what it means to guard the gospel and then to deliver it.
Yes, we are. Now, to receive the gospel means we don't invent it. It's something that is given. That's the key thing here. We're to receive it. And then when we receive it, we've got to guard it, because if the gospel is not guarded in the church, well, it's going to be lost to the world. Who else is going to guard the gospel except those who believe it? And so that's a real part of our responsibility to the gospel. And then, of course, we must not keep it to ourselves. We're given this trust by God in order to bring it to the world. So we're looking at how we can maximize our usefulness to the Lord.
Yeah.
And it boils down to this: you watch your life and you watch your doctrine. And we're looking here at what it means to guard the gospel in order that it may be brought to others for the glory of Christ and for their everlasting good.
Well, we're looking at that from the book of 2 Timothy. Join us there as we continue this message, Perseverance in Doctrine. Here is Pastor Colin.
I was talking recently to Mike Blakey, who delivers the mail here to the church, and Mike does a terrific job. He has been delivering mail to the church here and to the immediate area surrounding the same route for 34 years. Now, Mike the mailman has three basic responsibilities, and we depend on him for them. Number one, to receive the mail. Number two, to guard the mail. And number three, to deliver the mail. Mike has been faithful in doing these three things for 34 years, collecting the mail, bringing it securely, delivering it to us. And I think that his responsibilities to the mail actually help us think about our responsibilities in relation to the gospel. Let me lay it out in these three ways. Number one, we are to receive the gospel. We are not to invent it. We are not the creators of it. We are rather those who receive it and thereby pass it on. And that is our responsibility to the gospel in every generation and indeed in every place. We are to receive the gospel. We are not to invent it. Number two, we are to guard the gospel, and we are not to lose it. I'm looking here at chapter 1 and verse 14. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Now, obviously, you guard something that is valuable. A good mailman does not put the mail in the van and then wander off to the park and enjoy his sandwiches, leaving the mail to be raided. He guards what is valuable as it is trusted into his care. And as a good mailman guards the mail, so a good Christian or a good church guards the gospel. Now, the greatest danger for us here is not, certainly in an evangelical church, our greatest danger is not that we abandon the gospel in some drastic decision. Our greatest danger is much more subtle. It is that we will simply wander away from the gospel because we're not watching these things closely. Now, every parent, of course, has their personal story of that horrible moment where your child wanders and suddenly you realize you don't know where they are. And it happened to us when we were on the beach in the south coast of England many years ago. Our youngest boy, David, was just about 3 years old, as I recall it. And he was with his cousins. There were a whole group of us on the beach. And the kids were filling buckets of water from the ocean and bringing them back up the sand. And I remember Karen saying, with that kind of moment of tension in her voice, "Where's David?" And I didn't know, and then nobody else knew either. And we both felt that dreadful sense of panic and went off in opposite directions on the beach to search and to try and to find him. Well, it was Karen who found him some time later in terrible distress. He was at the other end of the beach, completely lost. And it was clear what had happened. He'd gone down to the water and he'd kind of wandered and he'd lost his bearings. And having lost his bearings, he had no idea to find his way back. Now, it's very significant that Paul uses three times in the letter to Timothy this word wandered. This is the big danger, you see. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6. Some have wandered away from these, that's from the truth, and have turned to meaningless talk. 1 Timothy 6:21. He speaks of those who have professed what is falsely called knowledge. They've got caught up with some great insight that they think is going to open up everything. And he says, so they have wandered from the faith. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 18, among them is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have wandered away from the truth. This is why we need to pay constant attention, personally and together, in the life of the church, that every program and every activity is faithfully representing that which has been trusted, the apostolic message to the church. Because if we don't watch that constantly, if we're not watching our life and our doctrine closely, what happens so easily, and we've seen it in other places so many times, is that even a faithful church ends up wandering away, losing its bearings, forgetting what is the real point of what we are actually trying to do, and therefore over time becoming increasingly lost. Watch your doctrine closely. Pay attention lest there be drift so that the center of gravity in what has grabbed your heart and mind is no longer the gospel, but is now something else. Of course, there's another way in which we can lose the gospel. That's not so much by wandering as by intentional reshaping. If you turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3, you see that there. Chapter 4, verse 3, the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, here's what they'll do, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. Now, the driving force here is to shape a message that fits our desires. Now, if you look back at chapter 3 and verse 2 to 5, which we touched on last week, you'll see what these desires are. In the last days, there will be terrible times, Paul says, chapter 3, verse 2. People will be lovers of themselves. They're going to be, verse 4, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. So if these are the instinctive desires that are in us by nature, it's not difficult to discern what a reshaped message will look like if it is driven by our own desires. The reshaped message will be a message about self rather than about God, because we're lovers of self by nature rather than lovers of God. And it will be therefore a message about this world rather than about the world to come, which is why it's very significant that in chapter 2 and verse 18, Hymenaeus and Philetus, who wandered away from the truth, what was their great error? They said the resurrection has already happened, which is another way of saying everything that Jesus Christ has to offer to you is in this life right now. Name it and claim it and believe it and so forth and so on. Now, against this, Paul says to Timothy, your responsibility is to guard the gospel and not to lose it. Don't lose it by becoming distracted and sort of wandering away. Don't lose it by reshaping to suit the self-love and the love of this world that is in us all by nature. You must guard the gospel, Timothy, because if the gospel is not guarded in the church, it will be lost to the world, right? I mean, if it is not guarded here, where else will it be guarded? It is guarded in local churches, of which we are one. And we are saved by this gospel, and we have an intense responsibility to it, to receive it, not invent it, to guard it, and not to lose it.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called Perseverance in Doctrine. It's the final message in our series called The Apostle's Apprentice, where we're taking a look at the life of Timothy, the apprentice of the Apostle Paul. And if you want to get a copy of the series on CD, you can come to our website and you can order it there. Our website is openthebible.org. You could also call and ask about the Apostle's Apprentice. Our phone number is 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. Or again, the website is openthebible.org. Well, whether you're on the website or if you're using the Open the Bible app, it's a great way to stay connected and up to date with Pastor Colin's teaching. We have both our daily and weekly radio programs there. We also have our daily devotional, which you can both read and listen to, and other tools and resources to help you grow in your knowledge and understanding of God's Word. You can find the app at your favorite app store. Just simply look for Open the Bible or link you to it through the website. That's openthebible.org. Well, if you joined us a bit late, we're in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1 as we get back to our message, Perseverance in Doctrine. Again, here's Pastor Colin.
And here's the third thing. We are to deliver the gospel and not withhold it. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, just a few verses ahead. The things that you have heard me say, Paul says, in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Now notice the big point here, that God's delivery system for the gospel is people. Now, to extend it out, that is why your responsibility is so critical wherever God has placed you in the world. Because his delivery system for the gospel is people, and he has placed you someplace where your life intersects with some unbelieving people, and how is God going to deliver the gospel to them? Through you, if you're ready. What is it going to take for any of us to deliver what has been trusted to us effectively? Three things, very simply. First, it's going to take faith. You have to have faith if you're going to be useful to Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13 that we've been focused on. What you've heard from me, keep, Timothy, as the pattern of sound teaching with faith. Timothy, if you're going to be really useful, you've got to hold this doctrine, you've got to hold it with faith. You've got to deeply believe it yourself. If you are going to communicate the gospel effectively to another person, you have to be persuaded of the truth of it in your own life. It's no use, Timothy, saying, you know, I learned a lot of this stuff from the Apostle Paul when I was young. It is no use moving on into middle life and saying, yeah, we learned something about that in college and we hear about it in church. You have to believe it yourself so that it grips your own mind and your own heart so that you can deliver it to someone else. Have you come truly to believe that Jesus Christ has destroyed death as far as you are concerned and that he has opened life and immortality as far as you are concerned? Have you come to believe that to such an extent that you may be a vehicle for communicating it to someone else? You have to hold it with faith. Second, if we're to be useful to Jesus Christ in this regard, and this is the whole theme of our series, we have to hold it in love. The same verse 13, what you've heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. And so the question I have to keep asking myself, and we all do, is how much do I really care about other people? And how much does it matter to me that some folks who I know, if they were to die tonight, would be lost? Is that on my heart? Is that in my prayers? Jesus looked at the crowds, and he had compassion on them because they were a sheep without a shepherd. Now you see, Paul, about to die, is saying, Timothy, I want you to receive and guard and deliver this apostolic message in Ephesus. And Timothy, if you're going to be really useful in doing that where God has set you, you're going to have to believe it with all your heart, and you are going to have to learn to love these people God has placed around you so that you will give of yourself in service and ministry so that they too may become Jesus Christ. And then there's a third thing. Faith, love, and a good conscience. Now, this is a very striking phrase that is used by the Apostle Paul four times in these two short letters. It's very striking. And it raises, of course, the issue of integrity, that it is possible to believe one thing and to live another. It is possible for you to profess the gospel of Jesus Christ and to live in a way that is contrary to what you believe. And Paul raises this issue consistently with Timothy because it is so important. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 19, fight the good fight of faith, holding the faith with a good conscience, because some have rejected these and have made shipwreck of the faith. Or 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 9, speaking about leaders of the church, that is, elders or deacons. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, what are we to look for? Many things, but here's one that's critical. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith. They must have grasped the deep truths of the faith, our leaders, because it's part of our responsibility to the gospel. But they must do it with a clear conscience. Hold it and live it. And 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3, Paul says, I thank God whom I serve as my forefathers did with a clear conscience as night and day I'm praying for you. The reason that I'm able to pray for you every morning and every night is that I'm living in the light of the gospel with a clear conscience before God. Now you see the point. In order to deliver the message effectively, there has to be, Paul says to Timothy, a consistency between your faith and your life, which is why he says, watch your life and your doctrine closely. They stand or they fall together. Now that's the message this morning. I want to end it by asking three very simple questions. The first question is simply this: have you believed this gospel? Now, I'm not asking, do other people think you are a Christian? I'm not asking, were you brought up in a Christian home, or even have you been in the church for 25 years, or whatever it is. I'm asking the question, have you believed this gospel? Do you believe it? Jesus Christ has destroyed death, and brought life and immortality to light for his people. This Jesus is the Son of God. He died to save you. He rose again, and today he calls you to a holy life. Have you believed this gospel? Now ask this question. If not, if you're somewhere just all at sea with these things, that are at a distance from you, why would you not believe this gospel today? What would you be holding on to in your life right now that is so good that you would rather hold on to it than embrace what Jesus Christ has accomplished and now offers to you, the death of your death, the drawing of its sting, the liberation from hell, the entrance into everlasting life, and the beginning of eternal life right now as you enter into a relationship with the one who made you and learn to find your joy in him? Will you not today say, I believe? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You will cross over from death to life, from darkness to light. It's the language of the Bible, the promise of Christ. Now, if you have believed, then we have a responsibility to this message, to guard it as we've received it, and to deliver it. So let me ask this second question of you, as I've tried to ask it honestly of my own heart again this week. Do you care about bringing this gospel to a lost world? Does that matter to you? God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Now, what would you give for the advance of the gospel in the world? Here's the third question. Are you holding the gospel with a clear conscience? Now, this is so important, lest we fall into what I've called Jonah syndrome. You know Jonah's syndrome? He believes the truth, but he lives at a distance from God. Because there's no use going on as a Jonah who believes but is at a distance from God and is out of the place of usefulness because he says he has his issues. Don't delay repentance. Bring what is on your conscience to Christ right now, so that your conscience can be cleansed and we can leave here a group of Christians ready to be useful in the world.
Isn't that what we want? To be useful in the world. And really a helpful look at how we do that and what it looks like to persevere in doctrine. That is the title of today's broadcast here on Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. We've been looking at a responsibility to the gospel message, how we're to receive it, to guard it, and to deliver it. And if you want to go back and listen to this broadcast or any previous broadcast in our series again, you can do that by coming to our website. It's openthebible.org. The name of the series is The Apostles' Apprentice. And you can stream each program or download an MP3 for free. You can also listen to this program if you're on the go. If you're podcasting the program, you can sign up through the website. Or if you have the Open the Bible app, we have both our daily and weekly radio program on the app, as well as our daily devotional, which you can read or listen to, tools for helping you get a better understanding of the Bible, and a lot more. The app is free. You'll find it at your favorite app store. Simply look for Open the Bible, or we'll link you to it through our website. Again, that's openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is a listener-supported ministry. We're able to be on the station because of your generosity. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to say thank you by sending you an Advent devotional to help you prepare your heart for this Advent season. It's a 24-day devotional from Pastor Colin. And Colin, this is based on Isaiah chapter 40, right?
Yes, it's a marvelous chapter of Scripture to meditate on, especially as we're preparing ourselves for Christmas. And it's so full of good things. I mean, just verse after verse speak to us wonderfully. I mean, for example, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Now, that beautiful image of the flower and the grass fading away, it just speaks to us of the fragility of life. And we all come to places when we're feeling how fragile things are, things that we have, things that are around us, our own lives, the lives of other people we love and trust. And suddenly when you become aware of the fragility of everything in this world, you begin to say, what is there solid? What is there that I can rest on? What is there that will never move? And here Isaiah says, the word of the Lord stands forever. That builds strength into the soul. So this chapter is just full of wonderful, rich truth that will build, nourish, strengthen your soul. And it leads to this marvelous promise that's the title of the devotional. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. So if you need renewed strength, this is a wonderful chapter of Scripture for you to meditate on.
Well, we want to send you, as our way of saying thank you for your financial support and to help you prepare your heart for this Advent season, Pastor Colin's devotional book, Waiting for the Lord. You can find out more or give your gift online when you come to openthebible.org or call us at 1-877-OPEN-365. Our website is openthebible.org, and again, the phone number, 1-877-673-6365. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening today, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible. You can fulfill the purpose for which God made you and live the life to which He is calling you. Find out how next time on Open the Bible.